He agreed, yeah.
Action.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Thursday, August 23rd, 2012 to order. First order of business, Mr. Erickson is Managed Print Services.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm asking Mr. Mark Rist to assist me in our effort this morning to make a recommendation on an RFP.
Thank you. But before you start, Nick, we need to have a discussion with the commission and you about agenda and verbiage. So if we could set a time where we could just have that discussion about whether or not it says bid opening, bid recommendation, or whatever, just, sure, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I think what I'll do to start off with is just a very quick summary of what this is all about, when it started, etc. We have recognized for a long time the need to have a more sufficient and efficient system regarding all of our print document needs. Copy machines, printers are all over the place. There's a huge expense every month for toner. And so I did some exploration starting last December on different remedies that we might explore, and contacted several print vendors and professionals, and I think the whole process started with about 20 participants who supplied information, details, questions that they would need to create a solution for us. MPS is Managed Print Systems, and it carries several different meanings regarding whatever the application is for a large operation like ours. After a questionnaire went out to all the department heads and we were able to extract a bunch of detail and information, we put out an RFP that was released on May the 16th, 201205-182, request for proposals for a managed print services system for Taney County. And we opened that on June the 21st, 2012, and that was after direct bid invitations had gone out to, like I say, about 20 different print agencies and vendors, plus I employed Public Purchase, which we participate in free of charge, and they had contacted some 150 other vendors. So I was juggling lots of responses and a lot of information back and forth. On June the 21st, 2012, we received four formal responses, which was kind of surprising to me that we only received those four after all of that information went flying back and forth and we publicized this RFP for quite a while. Those four companies were Corporate Business Systems, Office Concepts, Copy Products, and a company out of Kansas called ARC, A-R-C. Immediately, I put together an employee panel. I think, you know, the commission, and I might, without the minutes right in front of me, this was in response to directives from you all, gentlemen. And that employee panel consisted of seven different people, including myself, and we started to dig into each one of those responses. We had several meetings. We had occasion to have each one of these vendors come and see us and make a presentation, very similar to the process that I followed with the healthcare RFP last winter. I developed a scoring system based on 10 key points that each vendor was made aware of. In fact, I sent out this scoring system as an addendum before we ever even opened the RFP on June 12th, kind of as an open book test to allow the vendors to know exactly what we were going to be looking for. After several meetings and reviewing the information and then additional inquiries to these four participants, the panel was able to arrive at a score of 49.5 total points. The total points you can get, a maximum, is 50 points, five for each one of these 10 questions. 49.5 was awarded to corporate business systems, 49 to office concepts, 41 to copy products, and 37 to ARC. So a decision was made to alert the last two copy products in ARC that they were being eliminated from future considerations through our selection process, and we focused on the final two participants. And another, at that point in time, the panel decided that it would be appropriate for these final two to make a thorough walkthrough and monitor each and every device. And in a commendable fashion, both of these vendors spent an inordinate amount of time walking in and out of each department and taking down information on each machine. And so their final response to us included by department what machine was going to be replaced, how it was going to be replaced, et cetera, et cetera. A scoring system then went into place regarding their responses on how much this was going to cost Taney County. And Mr. Riss is here to assist me with a document that he came up with that basically compares the final costs. And so that takes me to the point where we can talk about that. If you'd like to chime in, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, both vendors were pretty competitive on the rates that they charge for maintenance and supplies. It does pretty much just get broken down. Corporate Business Systems actually factors in a lease payment on all the equipment that they're going to provide to cover the county's printing needs. Office Concepts basically just gave us a flat number per copy. So
say that again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The difference in the two?
Corporate Business Systems has they have a cost per copy for black and white, a cost per copy for color, and then they have a cost per copy. There is actually two different black and white prices. One is a cost that's associated with printing off of a normal printer, like a laser printer. And then the other cost per copy is based off of printing off of a copying machine. The costs, of course, off of a copying machine are lower than they are off of a printer by, you know, fractions of a penny. But so we put together a spreadsheet, and we can give you guys copies of this, I guess. Let's see, Corporate Business Systems cost per copy on a black and white just off of a printer was 0.0098, and their cost per copy on color.
Do you have a copy for us to even look
sure.
at while you guys are talking?
Let me. I got.
I mean, I could write it down, but if you've got a copy, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
While they're doing that, can I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
I apologize if this was in a previous meeting. What did you estimate our total cost of printing, the way we're doing it right now? I mean, obviously, we got to know what we're spending now to know if this is a better deal or a worse deal for us.
Yeah. Well, and we knew that was going to be one of your main questions. We've been able to quantify our costs on toner.
Okay.
And that's approximately $2,100 a month just on toner alone.
It'd be toner and inkjets.
And inkjets.
And that was what we could come up with. A lot of departments are buying their supplies from Staples, Office Max, whatever, where they may not be, they were not
How
easy.
How about paper? Did you quantify paper?
Paper is not part of this RFP.
Okay, paper's not part of it.
Paper and Staples and paper clips are necessary evil that are always kind of separate from any managed print system.
Did you take any depreciation or any wear and tear on the equipment that we've got, part of your quantifying the costs? I mean, obviously, because the solution we've got is they're going to replace. It sounded like you said,
well,
somebody's going to replace machines. Somebody, I guess I'll get ahead of it. I don't want to get too far ahead. I'll hold my questions there.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll address that one in a minute here. So,
Go ahead. I got a copy now.
Okay. Well, with the cost associated there, as you can see, the CBS costs there, they are a little bit less. So at their, let's see, they both, for color on either a printer or a copier, was at 6 cents per copy. And then on printer copies, it was 0.0098, so just under a penny per copy. And on a copier, it was about 6 tenths of a penny if we were to print black and white off of a copier. So, and then further to the right there, you can see we're doing about 40,000 copies off of printers and 110,000 copies on our copiers right now.
Where'd that number come from?
That came from two places. Initially, all the vendors wanted to know what our volume was.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at paper.
Okay.
All the paper that has been purchased for the last 15 months averaged out to about 140 impressions or 130 clicks, they call it in the business, 130 pieces of paper, 130,000 a month. And so then CBS didn't seem completely, totally satisfied with that amount, so they went to the extra effort of doing meter readings, mm-hmm. and other things out of each machine, and amazingly, they were that number, it kind of solidified the paper that we bought.
Okay.
So we were working with 150,000 just to be safe.
All right.
Give us a little buffer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick note to make sure, because I know this could be a long discussion. Are we set for a public hearing at 8:30? Because if so, when that time comes, remind us so that we can go into that, and then we can come back to this. Thank you, Donna.
Okay. Well, so then we've kind of focused in that we're at 10,000 color copies per month right now. And like I said, Corporate Business Systems is basing their total cost on, they have a cost per copy, and then they also have a factored in lease payment of $2,484.91. So as a total, we're at $4,125.91 with Corporate Business Systems. Now, Office Concepts, they kind of took a different approach. They are, well, actually, let me back up again here, and this will address Commissioner Straffis's question here. Corporate Business Systems does have a handful of machines right now that are in the courthouses.
Okay.
They're currently under contract. They're fully maintained. So they do have a list of certain copiers or machines that will be staying, and will just continue to, they're going to be kind of moved into this contract. Okay.
Okay.
So those ones will not be going away.
So the lease payment would be for the replacement of the equipment we've got. What's the lease payment consist of?
I think the lease payment is actually going to cover
all
the machines, everything.
So their solution is replacing all the machines and taking what they've got under contract and adding those to those.
It will be what's here now will stay in, will be included in this lease,
okay.
payment. And then what gets added to is also included.
Okay, gotcha.
To simplify, it's a three-phase deal with them as far as, or three-item deal. Current equipment that's still usable stays. Refurbished equipment that they'll be supplying where that'll work with the same type of a warranty as a new piece of equipment. And new equipment where it's absolutely necessary to put in new. That's Corporate Business Systems process. And if I may maybe overstep you just a tad, the other guys, Office Concepts, is straight across the board, all new equipment, 139 pieces,
right.
of brand new equipment. They're not keeping, we're not keeping anything with
that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And one other minor footnote while we're talking about it, we're going to ask the commission to make a decision on inkjet, because inkjet is a dirty word. In the print world,
mm-hmm.
and obviously inkjet cartridges are a big part of what we're spending now, and combined with our toner expenses each month, and all of these vendors, all four of them, back to day one, have had initially said, hands off on inkjet. We're not touching any of your inkjet equipment. In other entities, they've recommended where a particular user has to have an inkjet device, that governing body made an option for them to buy their own inkjet cartridges if they choose to keep their inkjet device in there.
So
world.
And Ron, I apologize if I'm slowing the conversation.
I think that we're going to have to take a lot of time to look at
this. Okay, well, here's my question for you. So with that comment about the hands-off the inkjet, and I've heard that before, so did we factor in replacing all the inkjets, or do we just say inkjets are not part of this contract? And
Inkjets are not included in this contract.
Okay.
But they have a plan to replace whatever inkjet they can with a desktop laser printer.
Satisfactory to the end user.
Because inkjets, I believe, are traditionally more expensive when it gets to supplies and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So the 130, how many devices you said? 130?
139 from Office Concept.
And that doesn't include any inkjets or very few
no
inkjets?
No inkjets.
Neither vendor has inkjets.
How many inkjets do we have deployed in the county system?
Quite a few, I would say.
Yeah, we do actually have some spreadsheets available that will have all.
Wouldn't we see a bigger return, or wouldn't we see a bigger savings if we also address the inkjet printers? Because they're the more costly of the two units?
The way to address them on an ongoing is to get rid of them and move to a laser jet.
Okay. Yeah.
Most of these devices that are being proposed here have color option.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
In every way, the color and the black and white lasers are more cost effective on a maintenance level than the inkjets.
Okay. So. Plus, they're supplying all the toner in these contracts.
Right. Okay.
In these proposals.
Both companies are supplying all toner.
All toner. That was cardinal.
All we do is pay cost per copy. That's it.
Yeah.
So.
And that's they come in, calculate it every month, and we.
Both vendors are installing. They're going to be working with the IT department. We're going to be installing a software. Every one of the printers or copiers that they put in place is on the network. The server actually will do the meter readings automatically and report back to
them. No calls.
Right.
Go ahead, Ron. Back to your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I got a number of questions, and maybe I'll let you continue. But my first one is, we have one company that's bidding all new machines. And we have one company, if I've heard the wording, the same or the old machines that are currently here, refurbished machines that will have warranties that are the same as new,
mm-hmm.
and new machines. We have three types of machines.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that we say same that are owned by the county or the department, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when that machine breaks down? What happens when that machine goes kaput?
The machines that are owned by the department right now?
Yes.
In this case, we would be shifting over to the newer replacement machines. Mm-hmm. And these.
Is that part of this contract that's offered by which one?
CBS?
Right.
So if I have a $10,000 machine that is the county machine,
mm-hmm.
and it breaks down, they're going to give me a new machine for that. It's not going to cost the county anything.
Well, it just costs what the numbers are in the spreadsheet here. It's included in the lease payment.
Say that again.
Well, first of all, both vendors are basically expecting to move all of our printing over to each of these vendors once we decide to pull the trigger.
Okay.
So if we do have a working machine right now, it's most likely we are still paying more per month in maintenance and materials to keep that machine running than what we're getting quoted by these two vendors right now.
Okay, you made a comment a minute ago about the first CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That they have a number of machines currently that are within the system,
mm-hmm.
that we have contracts for. If, in fact, they were not chosen, it's either this other company or one of
right.
the other 100 companies, what happens with those contracts? Do they stay in place? Do we continue to pay those companies, that company,
right.
until those contracts expire?
Yeah.
So
well,
that would be on top of
right.
the other bid, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. That was an item that we discussed in the panel, and I think the decision is simply that, you know, there may be a few of those instances we'll deal with on a case-by-case basis if we have to keep a certain machine, for instance, copy products, who were eliminated. I know they have a couple machines here that we have maintenance agreements with, and we'll deal with those on a case-by-case basis.
Also have a breakdown as to what additionally that's going to cost us?
Well, the other thing is the majority of the machines that we have here are owned. They're not leased.
Right.
So the contracts that we do have is strictly for the toner and the maintenance on them.
Okay, let me ask you a couple. How many machines out of the 139, how many are owned by the county?
Nearly all of them.
How many contracts? Okay, so let me ask you a different question. How many contracts does CBS have with the county?
We have that.
And or the other companies that...
Because what I'm trying to understand is this. In the CBS proposal, there's $2,484 in lease payments for what? If they're not replacing our equipment, what are we paying for? So this payment is actually a maintenance contract, their maintenance contract on these equipment.
The lease payment is for basically leasing the hardware, and then the maintenance is all covered in the cost per copy. They built the maintenance right into the cost per copy.
So let's say that all, for some freaking nature, all of these savings, 40-40, which is county-owned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They all break.
They'll fix them.
They can't fix them. They say they break. So do they replace
They'll
them?
Replace them. Yeah,
and the
covered.
Payment doesn't change?
No. Because they're covered under the maintenance contract. They won't keep it going. They won't keep it running.
Okay.
And is whatever agreement we're going to come up with for any company is going to tie them to these verbal comments when we have attorneys draft a contract?
Right.
I don't anticipate us allowing another company to draft contracts on behalf of the county.
5 years. This is for 5 years. Office Concepts and
this
their
is for
prices.
Their bids, both companies' bids, are for 5 years. That's mm-hmm. what you're saying. Yep.
Well, but except for Office Concepts in their response, they're asking us to have a contract for 6 years. In order for them to accommodate their costs, because they had to go to a bank in Purdy to get the all equipment purchased approval, pre-approval for all that. That's how print vendors do it. And so they've asked for us to consider their proposal to go for...
Well, I'm assuming it's a great deal of money for either company, but it's but their bid was for 100% new equipment.
Right.
Bank, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. And no lease, no... It's 3 cents and seven, isn't it? 3 and 7?
Yeah.
It's 3 cents for black and white and 7 for color, and that's it.
We're going to have to stop this public hearing. But let me ask you one question on this on your spreadsheet, just as a side. Why did it say Office Concepts second offer?
How do you want to write that?
Well, that was actually, it should be final because right. What we agreed to do to get the to have the most efficient response from both, mm-hmm. we allowed both to come and do walkthroughs.
Okay.
And once they did their walkthroughs, and they were allowed to make any changes they needed to their initial because of the equipment that may or may not have been captured in their initial process.
So but both companies were given the same opportunity.
Both companies were given the same opportunity,
right.
So
yeah,
they
just,
both had a final
that's
response.
That's really what I was trying to get my hands around. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, the last one was, the second one, refers to their best and final.
And actually, Office Concepts didn't change. There was the same right from the start.
Hmm. Well, I think we're going to have to recess and just do the public hearing real fast.
Well, let's wait. Let's go for the 2 more minutes that are...
So, okay, then I'm going to go back to inkjets real fast. If I'm understanding the history of inkjets, it's more expensive, it's more convenient, but that's where we spend more money per copy or per printed page than anywhere else.
Across the industry, the average cost per one page piece of paper on an inkjet printer is 25 cents.
That's
minimum,
a lot.
Minimum. Okay. As high as 75 cents, depending on the device. And so that's why inkjets are...
Okay, but so let me ask you this question then. So why aren't we trying to replace inkjets or take them off service or disallow them and IT never buys them again?
Mm-hmm.
What if that? It seems like that's where we could see a bigger savings if we address that too. I don't know how many inkjets we have and how many...
I mean, that's part of the whole...
Since we've even been in these discussions about these contracts, I mean, we've already had probably 2 or 3... departments come to us and say, I need a new printer. And I said, well, can we find a way to put this off until we come up with answers on this right now, because I didn't want to see any more inkjets coming into the county.
Here's a quick example to answer your question.
Hold on, Ron. We got 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And then we can come back to you after we deal okay. with Donna. My quick question for you is to come back with, this says 139 machines. Does that include inkjets?
No.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I think it does. That number does not include inkjets.
No.
But that number does include the printers that are intended to replace inkjets.
Right.
So does this...
Okay, it's 8:30. Let us set you aside for just a moment to continue that discussion, because we have a public hearing scheduled with the county clerk regarding the 2012 tax levies.
Donna, here's a microphone that's working that way.
Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. You can sit.
I didn't bring any magnifying glasses, so I'll go over
this. My eyes are good. I can see it.
Okay. The total assessed valuation for Taney County is $1,047,317,393. That's the total assessed valuation for Taney County.
One more time.
Where's it written at?
It's not on yours.
Okay. What is it?
1047317393. What you're showing is 995,028,934, because that amount is reduced by tax increment financing amount. If you look towards the middle of your page, you'll see at the top where it says minus final res TIF minus final commercial TIF. Those two values added together make your tax increment financing values for the county.
Okay, hold on here. I assume we're looking at the whole bottom row here.
The bottom row.
Okay.
But where it starts, Taney County goes down, those political subdivisions all have the same okay. valuation, because they're all countywide.
All right.
And if you look up at the top, you can see the header that tells you what each column is
right.
about.
Okay. So you're saying the pre-BOE total, final total real minus TIF plus state is
right.
$856 million.
Yes.
Okay. I'm following you now. Okay.
Yeah, what I have to do...
You lost me because I had the other part. Thought I had the other part figured out.
This is this number right here, which I'm trying to follow here. This number is where we are minus TIF, assessed valuation.
Minus these two. Because you said minus the TIF.
Right.
How about I go across and explain it all the way across to you?
Okay.
Okay.
But before you do, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When it comes time for the commission to establish the levy, what is the total amount of valuation that the county would establish the levy on? Would that be...
995,028,934, because you have to reduce it by the TIF, because you can't... If you were to set a levy, you could not apply it to the TIF value. The TIF value is taken out first. I mean, it is collected, but it cannot come to us. It has to go to...
I understand that, but in setting your levy, if you set the levy less, then the TIF's going to come out of those dollars that come from that less levy.
What I'm required to do...
Okay, and I'm asking because...
Okay, what I'm required to do is to remove the tax increment financing values... When I send that information to the state auditor's office,
okay.
they then do the calculations based on that value, the value of the total assessed minus the tax increment financing, and that's the value that your levy is set against. If you can think of, let's say, Branson School District.
No. I understand what you're saying. I don't understand why that they say that, and so help me with that.
Well, it would reduce the amount of levy that they could set their value at. If they set it at the higher amount, they would not be able to set their levy as high.
I'm not talking about their levy. I'm talking about if the county commission establishes a levy on an amount of assessed valuation within the county, and it's the higher amount, and then we subtract the whatever taxes are generated from that for the TIF, that would give them the appropriate amount of dollars that they should receive, and it would give the county, if in fact we had a levy, the appropriate amount of dollars that we should receive. If we lower the valuation that we utilize the tax levy against, it generates less monies. Now,
it's
okay, help me understand
that.
Okay.
If the value that we're setting the levy against is lower, the tax rate ceiling is higher. In other words, we can set our levy at a higher amount if we have a lower assessed valuation, because we're trying to come to a certain dollar amount in the calculation. If our valuation goes up, every political subdivision in the county, if their valuation goes up, their levy has to come down to compensate so they don't have a windfall.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So on the left, of course, is the name of each political subdivision in Taney County. Then you'll see in each criteria I have the pre-BOE residential value, the change in residential value, and the final residential value, the pre-BOE agricultural value, the change in ag, and the final agricultural value, the pre-commercial value, the change in commercial, the ending commercial value. And then, of course, you have a subtotal there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm showing your subtotal change and your final change. Then I'm showing the TIF is broke down by residential value, commercial value, and then your final state railroad and utility. If you notice in the school districts, just since I'm explaining this document, there is no value for the school districts. That's because those dollars, which come to over $20 million, are distributed in a different formula. So the levy does not apply to that. It's in a formula. So that's why there's no value for the schools. Then, of course, I've got the pre-BOE total with the real minus TIF plus your state assessed, the change in that, and then the final. Then we go to your personal property. It's the pre-BOE personal property, change in personal property, your final, your locally assessed railroad and utility values, and then again you come to the state assessed railroad and utility personal, and you'll notice there's no value for the schools, but there are for the other political subdivisions. Then you have your subtotal again, your change, your final BOE subtotal personal property and railroad utility, and then your grand total is that final column.
Gotcha.
I have the levies here, the what's called a pro forma for both the general county revenue and for road and bridge. The maximum allowable for us, I'll just start with, not my brown book. I'm going to pass this up to you so you can share that.
We're sharing this. Don't write on this.
I just
did
it in their notes.
General County revenue. Okay, if you look online, trying to find your current maximum rate. For road and bridge, it's 0.35. That's the amount that's been voted on by the people. So that's the highest rate you could ever set it on. Based on the calculations, the numbers that I've sent to them, the highest amount that you could set would be 0.1945 per $100 assessed valuation for road and bridge. And then if we move over to general county revenue, the maximum allowed by the voters has been 50 cents per every $100 of assessed valuation. The maximum allowed by the calculation is 0.2591.
In the past, what we've done is, as you came up with these calculations, then the county commission, in the past, has taken a vote to roll those back to zero.
Well, basically, what we do, Danny, is we set our levy. I'll just go with general county revenue.
We have to vote to set it and then vote to roll it back.
Exactly. We do a voluntary reduction.
Sure, that's the way we.
Yeah, so I know we have to set it in order to roll it back. I know that's two steps.
Yeah, if you look on here, you'll have the lines that show where you would set it, and then line H shows less voluntary reduction by the political subdivision. So you can set it over on line F, you can set it at 2591, and then on line H, you can set it to be reduced by 0.2591 if that would be your decision.
Okay. Donna and or Rick, hypothetically, if, well, first let me ask this question. Based upon your formulas and the pro formas that sent from the state auditor, they're saying if the county chose to do so, they could establish these two rates that are provided within these pro forma calculations.
That's correct.
Now, does that include the rollback from the first half-cent sales tax that was passed and, I think, and approved in 1992, maybe?
This is the amount allowed by law, which would take into account the sales tax issue.
So with a minimum of half of whatever, okay, so that, without me explaining it, because I'm going to have to think on a minute before I can do that properly, this would include that rollback.
Yeah, it's already been taken.
Okay.
When they give you your maximum, 0.2591, that's already been adjusted down.
All right, let me ask you a question. I remember there was a point in history when our sales tax was so much higher than what we could have brought in ad valorem taxes, mm-hmm. that the county commissions, for a while, voluntarily rolled back, and then we reached a point where it was so much greater that there was no tax to roll back. But now the valuations have come back up to such a level on real estate that the possibility is having both, and that's what this says, right?
That's my understanding,
okay.
Yes.
Any, which figure would be utilized based upon the figures that you've given us this morning that these levies would be assessed against to reduce revenues?
Yeah, if you'll turn over to the second page, you'll see that 995-0...
Oh, your second page.
Here it is, okay.
You'll see that 995-028... 934 value incorporated into the calculation. What I do, Ron, is, and you probably remember, I prepare what's called the county packets.
Right.
And I submit all the assessed valuations for every political subdivision in the county and their new construction values. And I send that to the state auditor's office. They actually do the calculations for us and then send it back in these pro formas.
So would you help me with that form here that shows me where that extension is made based upon that levy applied against the valuation?
I'm sorry. Form A, page 1 of 2, is where they're showing the assessed valuation, and then you see the 2011 assessed valuation.
I've got the page.
Okay. So the top part, 1 through, I think it is 4, is your 2012 assessed valuation figures.
Yes.
And then 5 through the end of the page is your 2011.
That would be the amount of valuation that these two levies would be extended against.
Yes, that 995-028-934.
Okay, my question is, line 4 is different than line 1. Do we utilize line 1 or line 4?
That's where they're doing their adjustment. And actually, Ron, I'm not sure if I know where you're asking me.
Well, I'm asking you that if a levy were approved by this county commission, which valuation would it be applied against to come up with the amount of dollars that would be forthcoming to the county?
Oh, I see.
Would it be the $991 million or the $995 million?
For us, if we were to come up with an idea of what, if we were going to use the full amount,
right,
the .1945 for road and bridge, we'd be applying it to the $995,028,934.
Okay.
And, of course, you take that amount, you divide that by 100, and then multiply it by your levy.
Okay. I'm not insinuating that this county commission is even considering that. I'm just trying to. So the county commission has the right to voluntarily roll back the entire amount of the levy or any portion of it.
That's right.
So for every penny, help me take this a step further, you guys, that potentially could be levied, what would that bring in as revenues? Let's round this off on $1 billion. Rick, how much would a penny bring in on $1 billion? This is assessed value. It's not appraised, right?
This is assessed. But you do divide that.
Just off the top of your head, Rick, what would that be?
You would divide that. You divide that billion by 100, and then multiply it by your penny.
Times 0.01.
Right.
I show $10 million.
I think it'd be more.
$10 million. $10 million.
No. A penny.
I'd have to do it.
No. It'd be more like 100,000, I think. But for every penny. First, it's per $100 assessed valuation. And to do that, that's going to make it 9,950,989. If it were a dime, it would be 900,000, 995,000. So about 100,000 per penny, close. On $1 billion, it would be 100,000 exactly. So if you had 10 cents, it would be $1 million. A levy. Okay, all right.
That's about right, because I believe I did the calculation once, and if we went the full amount it, for the road and bridge, it would be about $2 million.
Okay. Thank you, Donna.
Okay. Ron, I just wanted to go over this one sheet with you. This
got
is
it.
The information that was put in the newspaper. It's required by statute. It shows your 2011 ending value, your 2012, and then your increase or decrease. And beginning 2012, increase or decrease, and then the final 995,028,935 in the far right-hand corner. And that is what is required to be posted in the newspaper, along with dates and times.
What is the deadline for the levy setting by the county commission? What's the?
September 1st.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't understand. We're saying we only have $52 million in total TIF values in real property.
There's a button there. You can
push the button there. What number was it?
I'm not sure if I heard you.
My question was, I'm questioning the TIF values of the real property. We're only saying we have $52 million of real property in all the TIF districts.
That's assessed valuation. That's assessed valuation.
Not appraised valuation.
Over the base. Yeah, that's not.
So
it's not
appraised. Basically, be three times that much.
That's
percent of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you are. Okay. That's closer. Okay.
And then of course you have TIF districts that have sales tax as well.
Right. And I was just talking about real. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
difference between the sales tax, which was applied in 1992, right?
90 or 92.
Okay. Versus what the property levy, the difference between those dollars.
Yeah, the original statute, the original statute that the first half set sales tax was passed on, the county commission agreed and selected the 50% number. So whatever value that we brought in sales tax, we had to find out what half of that was, or 50%. Then we had to mandatorily roll back at least 50% of whatever the property tax would have generated, whatever would have equaled half of that sales tax. So you lower your levy enough, but that amount equals half of the sales tax. Then the county was able to enjoy the second half, if you will, of the sales tax.
And
is that right, Rick?
And after that period.
I studied that notion, but that sounds like what it was.
And after that period of time, the 90s,
yes,
the sales tax exceeded far and above what your 50% that you're talking about, the sales tax far exceeded that. So they started the rollback process of rolling back every year until it's got down here to a point to where it's almost even.
Well, it got to zero for a while, but for the last few years, our valuation has climbed so much that we're not bringing in enough sales tax that would require all of the levy to be reduced.
I know that's where you're going, and as you stated before, this county commission doesn't have any desire to do any of that, but that's where you're
headed. I want to have an understanding again. So.
Of understanding where it's at. I understand the fact that the sales tax was so elevated at one point that it was.
I had talked with you before, and I found a copy. Now I'd be hard-pressed to go back and find it again. That I had made when I left back at the end of 98, of all those calculations done of the years before, of how I hand figured what that was. So when the auditors came in and they went through all that, but I'll share that with you, at least for the years past when I was here. Jim, Danny, questions of
this is the public hearing part of this. We don't have to make the motion now to do that until she posted?
No, she has gone through the entire process. Today is the public hearing regarding the setting of the levy. We have until or before September 1st, I forget.
I need it by September 1st.
So I think it would be appropriate this time to ask if there's any member of the public that's present that has any statements that they would like to make prior to, and I'm not sure that the county's going to do it today, but prior to the county commission making the decision to establish the 2012 levies on behalf of the county. I'm sure any member of the public present that has any comments that they would like to make. Let the record note, Lynn, that no one came forward. Gentlemen?
And we do those in two separate motions.
We set the levy first?
We can do them today, we can do them Monday, but we have to do it prior to September 1st and present that to Donna.
You can make, if you wanted to, you could make, I'm not sure if you're ready,
I'm ready.
If you wanted to, you can make a motion to set both Road and Bridge and general county revenue at their maximum allowable levy and then roll both of those back to zero.
Okay. But we name that amount.
Right.
As contained on the pro formas, I would note that it's my hope in the very near future to establish a committee, and Rick, I'll invite you now to be a part of that committee that will prepare for the county a long-range financial plan as we look into the future to help us in our annual budgetary preparations, which will also be helpful to all elected officials and department heads so that they have some idea of where we're going to be, hopefully, what other revenues are available to us. I know, for example, that the new executive director of NACO Financial Services, charged from the executive committee, is that he worked with the state associations in finding new ways to generate revenues through corporate contractual arrangements that will bring dollars back home to county governments. And so there's going to be some different things, hopefully, in the future that will be positives for the county. But I'd really like to get that started. That would also help the counties in their decision-making on an annual basis of whether or not future counties are going to have to get into the levy-setting business. But. Mr. Strophas.
All right. So I'm just trying to understand here. Are we going to do...
Let's do them individually.
Okay, and so we're going to set and roll back in that same motion.
Yeah, that's
fine with me. Okay. So motion to set levy for road and bridge to maximum amount of...
Let me ask, and I apologize for interrupting. Donna, is it more appropriate to set the levy in a separate motion and then roll back
in a separate motion?
A different motion.
Or do you do them...
Well, if I was going to make a decision on it, if I was voting, I would not vote to set a levy at 0.1945 unless that motion also included to roll it back.
Well, that's,
otherwise, you may have a vote of one of the other commissioners to do something different.
And that commissioner has every right to do
and
that.
And yes, sir, they do.
But my point is, I believe that what I'm hearing is we're going to do that.
We're
going to
set it and roll back in the same motion.
If I was making a vote on it as a commissioner.
And that's fine for clerk-wise. You're fine. Okay. You go with that?
Sure.
Motion to set road and bridge levy at maximum amount of 0.1945 and to roll back to zero.
How about make that a voluntary reduction of 0.1945.
Okay. I'm by with that.
And to make according to
the pro formas presented.
And I'll second that motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to establish the 2012 road and bridge levy at 0.1945 as per pro forma from the state auditor's office and to voluntarily roll back an amount of 0.1945, thereby establishing the levy for 2012 at zero. Would you make a motion? All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Same motion on the next
Same one. Motion, substitute 0.2591.
Setting and reducing voluntarily to zero
for
2012.
Not the same motion.
Same. I should have just put them all in one motion.
Sure, for county revenue.
For general county revenue.
Right.
Correct. Not for road and bridge.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. Please let the records, with the exception of GCR and the amount of that levy,
same
have
wording.
The verbiage be the same. And in essence, the motion was to establish the 2012 general county revenue rate or levy at 0.2591 and voluntarily roll back that levy by 0.2591, establishing the levy for 2012 at zero as per state auditor's pro forma presented today. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Were you assuming we were going to do?
Just
kidding. Where do you want me to sign? Right there. Thank you, Donna. Can I get a copy of everything else that I need here for all this? Maybe the second. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's great. Let's stand in recess for 5 minutes until we've got the commission back. Thank you.